dark and drear my nights and days. If Jesus' face I did not see to brighten all earth's weary ways, I'm overshadowed by his mighty love. Love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love that brightens all my way. Now judgment fears no more alarm. I dread not death nor Satan's power. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love that brightens all my way.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Garner, that was lovely, and that was true. What a blessing to be in that place and that kind of relationship. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. And once you find your place, we'll stand and begin to read in verse number 1 and read through verse 14. I want to bring a message today that's of great encouragement and comfort to Christians and ought to bring great concern to your heart if you're not a Christian. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You ought to notice the many times the Bible uses that statement, in Christ Jesus, or in Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, that's in Christ, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Go back for our text verse to verse number 7. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on that subject, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Now that subject ought to catch every person's attention in him. There's not one person that's not a sinner. There's not one person here that's not condemned by sin. And oh, to think that we'd have to face eternity in our sins. And what a joy, oh blessed joy, to know that we can obtain forgiveness of sin. And that forgiveness of sin is through one person and one person only, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Help me to be clear and plain. Help me to be understandable by every person listening to my voice. I ask you to use this message to give great peace and great assurance to those of us who know that we're saved. And use this same message to bring great conviction and great concern to the heart and the mind of those who have never put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Lord, I need your help. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Speak through me. Help me to simply be your voice, your instrument, conveying your message to your people and to a needy world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul is writing to Christians in the church at Ephesus to remind them of their blessed position in Christ Jesus. Oh, when we are saved, we become a part of the family of God. We are in Christ. God looks at us through the bloody sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at our sins through the blood that was spilled as payment and redemption for our sin. And he cannot see our sin. All he can see is the blood of Jesus that was shed in our behalf. We are children of God in Christ Jesus, according to verse number 5. We are blessed now with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things in Christ, according to verse number 3. We're saved now if we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Our salvation does not begin only after we die or after the rapture. We are children of God now when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us. We have an inheritance now, a home in heaven now waiting for us in eternity, according to verse number 11. And all of this is in Christ Jesus. If we're saved, then we are eternally saved. Did you hear that? If we are saved, then we are eternally saved. God does not have but one kind of salvation, and that's eternal salvation. And if we are saved, we are eternally saved and can never be lost again after accepting Christ as our Savior. Jesus tells us that when we trusted Him as Savior, we were indwelt and dwelt with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us is God's mark of ownership on us and our assurance that we're God's child until we're raptured out of this world at the end of this world. At that time, our body will be glorified at the rapture. It'll be saved and be caught up to what we are as spiritual people in Christ Jesus now. The one thing in our life we must not be in doubt about is our salvation. So many people today are living with no hope, and others are living with false hope. They are saturated with uncertainty about their eternity. Many of you here today are living in doubts, some living in uncertainty and fears about what will happen to you after this life is over. What will happen to you when Jesus comes? What will happen to you should you die today? Death will either be the beginning of life eternal in heaven or eternity in hell fire without hope forever. We must not play games about our eternity. We must not gamble with our eternal souls. We can know that we're saved. We must know that we're saved. And today is the day to settle this matter in your heart and to settle it before God forever and forever. Our text verse tells us that there is redemption in Christ and the forgiveness of our sin. That word redemption means that Jesus has paid the price necessary to save you as a lost sinner and to forgive all your sin. And that price that was necessary was the suffering and bleeding and the dying of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death on Calvary and His shed blood became the acceptable payment for our sin debt. God will accept nothing else except you can pay for your own sin. God will accept you paying for your own sin. But it will take you forever and ever without end in hell to pay for your own sin. The only way you can be saved and go to heaven is to accept the payment God made for your sins, and that payment is Jesus Christ, the Savior. God Himself designed salvation. He has already determined to forgive all sin and to save every sinner who will accept Jesus Christ as their own Savior. God has already determined that. He's already planned our salvation. He's already paid for our salvation. He's already decided that He will accept every sinner who will come to Him by faith, accepting Jesus as their Savior. That's what we've read about here in these first 14 verses. Now, I want to point out and emphasize three simple but very important facts seen in our scripture this morning. First of all, I want to point out the awful, damning effect of our sins. The awful, damning effect of our sins. Look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, that's a wonderful verse. Yes, it is. It is for those of us who have believed. But may I point out on God's sight that our sin required the holy, holy, holy Son of God to die in our place in order that our sins might be forgiven? Our sins are ugly and awful in the sight of God. The Bible states plainly that God requires sin to be forgiven through Jesus or paid for by you and me. One or the other. There's no other positions than these two. Our sins are to be paid for by Jesus Christ, where we can be forgiven, or they'll be paid for by you or me, and there'll never be forgiveness. Now, sin is an ugly thing to require that. It's so ugly that you cannot pay for it with one day in hell. It's so awful you can't pay for it with 1 month in hell, or 1 year in hell, or 1 lifetime in hell. The person without Christ will spend forever and ever and ever, eternity without end, in that place called the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. I want you to know sin is awful. It's awful. Sin is so bad, it's so bad, that in order for God to forgive it, He had to take His own Son from glory, bring Him down to earth in the form of a man, and let Him live here for 33 and a half years to be tempted like we are with every kind of sin and temptation, and to remain clean and sinless, to be crucified on an old rugged cross. And in dying, He paid for our sin debt. Now, I want you to know sin is an awful thing. It's an awful thing. Let me point out the second thing here about the awful, a damning effect of our sin. We need to find out who are sinners. Who are sinners? Now, I've never met but two people in all of my life out witnessing and talking to people about Jesus that said they were not sinners. Only two people, and it was a man and woman in Metairie, Louisiana. I was soul winning one day. That's outside of New Orleans. They were kind of imbibing a little, they're drinking. And they weren't thinking too straight, and I was trying to win them to Christ. I was going through the plan of salvation, and I said, now the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the man said, I haven't. And the woman joined in and said, that's right, he never sins. And so I turned him over to 1 John, showed where God said both of them were liars. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're lying about it. Who are sinners? All of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We must never lose sight of the fact there's not one person listening to my voice, not one person ever born of man and woman on this earth that's not a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all condemned. We're all guilty before God. We're all deserving of hell. And Jesus Christ had to die for any one of us to ever be saved. But thank God He didn't die just to save one of us. He died to save any of us and all of us who will come to God through Jesus Christ. Now, look with me, if you will, quickly at the present result of our sin. Now, I'm going to preach on sin tonight. But look at the present result of our sin. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. It says we're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, that's talking about our spirit. Our relationship with God, that part of us that can commune with God, our spiritual being, our spirit is dead because of sin. When we're born again, our spirit is made alive. That's called the new birth. We can begin a new relationship with God. We can commune with God. But our present result and condition because of sin is we're dead. Look at verse number 2. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. Because we're sinners, we're not trying to please God with our life. We're living like the world lives. We're pleasing the flesh. Look at verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and by nature were children of wrath, even as others. That tells us who we are because of our sin. Look at verse number 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we were because of sin. Don't tell me you're here today and you're living in sin as a lost sinner and you have a relationship with God. You're dead. God is 10 million miles away from you. The only prayer He'll hear from a sinner is that prayer, "Be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul." Oh, sin has its damning effect on our lives. And it's awful. It's awful. It's awful. The eternal result of unforgiven sin is stated plainly in the Bible. The wages of sin is death. There's two kinds of death in the Bible. There's physical death. That's when the body dies. And there's the second death. That's when we're cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And if God paid what we deserved and what we earned because of our sin, we'd all die and go to hell. According to Ephesians 2 verse 3, we're all under the wrath of God. We're children of wrath. And without Jesus, you want God's blessings. You want to prosper. You want to get ahead. But God can't bless you. The only thing God has for those without Christ Jesus, if they're not going to get saved, is the wrath to come. The judgment of God to come. That's the eternal result. John 3:18 says, "Everyone that's not saved is condemned already." God's already pronounced sentence on you. Guilty, hell, forever and without hope. And Luke 16, Jesus just comes down and gives us a word picture of a real man dying without Christ and going to a literal hell and burning in the flames and suffering torments without hope and without God. The second thing I want to point out to you this morning is God has made provision for the forgiveness of our sin. It's not the will of God that we die and go to hell. God is not some monster in heaven saying, yeah, man, I can't wait to see you burn. I can't wait to see you suffer in hell's torments. No, God is a loving heavenly Father who wants to save us. He didn't make man for hell. He made man for a relationship with God. When man sinned and that relationship was broken, God provided His Son so that that relationship could be renewed through Jesus Christ. God's made provision for the forgiveness of our sins. God has provided forgiveness of our sins through His own shed blood in verse number 7. God didn't say, "Hey, George, you pay for their sins." God didn't say, "Hey, Susie, you pay for their sins." God said, "No, I'll pay for them. I will become flesh, and I will die for their sins." Oh, what a God. What a Savior. He paid the price. He made the provision for our sins through His own shed blood. Forgiveness of our sins is on the merit of the riches of His grace. Look at that. God didn't say, all right, here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to come down and die for you, and if you live good enough, if you're religious enough, if you do enough good works, then I'll get you in. No, sir. That's not what He said. He said, there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's not enough money to purchase salvation. There's not enough works to be performed to acquire salvation for one person. So Jesus said, I'm going to do it. Here's the merit. Here's the way I'm going to give it out. I'm going to give it out to those that don't deserve it on the merits of my grace. My grace. Not Bob Smith's grace. God's grace. God's grace. And He said, I'm going to make it so simple and so complete that if they'll just believe what I'm telling them, if they'll believe Jesus died for their sin, was buried and rose again, if they'll just put their trust in me, all who call upon me, I'll save them. Oh my, and I'll give them forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. God's plan for sinners, the sinner's salvation was predetermined, pre-planned in eternity past. That's what verse 4 and 5 says. Now listen, this is not what it says. God didn't say, all right, I'm going to predestine some to go to heaven and others go to hell. No, here's what God said. I'm going to predetermine, I'm going to predestine a way. That means before it took place in time. Back before the worlds were ever created, God said, I'm going to provide a way of salvation for sinners. And that way is through my Son who will die on the cross and shed His blood for remission of their sins. And if they'll just trust me, if they'll believe, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know this is not some New Testament plan that God got busy and concocted in a moment of time when they crucified Jesus. No, this was planned way back before He ever made the earth or the stars or the moon or before He ever created the first human being. It's God's predetermined plan. And my dear friend, He wants us to know that we can become a part of that. How can we become a part of that? Well, verse 13 says, look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Notice that word, trusted in Christ. That means we put our faith in Him to save us. Now look at verse number 13. In whom, in Christ, ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice the way it works. You hear the gospel. You believe it and trust in Jesus and you're saved. That's the way it works. You hear the gospel. Hey, that's the reason Frank Horton and his family are going to Chiapas, Mexico, so those mountain people can hear the gospel and have opportunity to be saved. You don't stumble onto salvation searching in the nothingness of the world. Somebody has to tell you about Jesus. We hear, we believe, we receive Christ, and He saves us. He saves us. Then thirdly, let me finish. You must choose to accept God's plan for your salvation or face God at the judgment, and you'll still be in your sin. You must choose to accept God's plan for your salvation. Now notice, I didn't say you have to choose to reject Him to be lost. No, you're already lost. You know, without Christ, every one of us we were lost. So you don't have to choose to reject Christ to be lost. But in order to be saved, you must choose to accept Him. You do nothing about accepting Christ, you're still lost and on your way to hell. You don't have to shake your fist in the face of God and say, I reject you, to be a lost sinner on your way to hell. All you have to do is not accept Christ as Savior. You're already lost. You're already a sinner. You're already on your way to hell. And you'll walk out of here still on your way to hell. But in order to be saved, you must choose to receive Christ as Savior. I didn't say you must choose one day, perhaps, to receive Him. Hell's full of people that wanted to get saved someday but died today. You must choose to receive Him now. Receive Him today. Not put it off till tomorrow. You leave here without accepting Christ. You leave here turning your back on God's provision for your salvation. You leave here lost, knowing that if you're in an accident on your way home and you die, you'll be in hell. You don't have to do a thing to be lost. You're already lost, but you have to choose to accept Christ. Now, the result of choosing God's plan and accepting Christ, all your sins are forgiven. All your sins are paid for. They're washed away. They're never to be remembered again. You're born again. You say, well, how do I know I was born again? All I did was ask Jesus. Because that's all you can do is ask, believing. Jesus does the birthing. A little baby doesn't birth itself. A little baby just comes into this world because mother births that baby. And God performs the work of the new birth. When we believe, our spirit is made alive. We're quickened. Suddenly, our sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We become a child of God. We're indwelt with the Spirit. Our name's written in the book of life. We're citizens of heaven. We're redeemed. Our sins are gone. They're forgiven. We're in Christ Jesus. And it all takes place when we choose to receive Christ as Savior. Not only that, when we choose to accept Christ as Savior, we're not only born into the family of God, but the Bible says we're also made His children by adoption. Now, what's the significance of that? When we're born again, we're babes in Christ. It takes a while for a babe to grow to maturity, doesn't it? But God wants to bless our life now. So when we're adopted into the family, according to the adoption of God, we're brought into His family full grown. We're brought into His family and can be blessed on the basis of adoption beginning the very day that we're saved. Whew. You don't have to wait 10 years to know God's blessings. We can have a full standing as a mature child in God's sight. Full blessings at once. Never have to worry about hell again. Now, the result of not choosing to be saved is that we'll face God at the judgment still in our sins. Lost forever. Condemned under the wrath of God. We'll have lived our life without hope. And we will die without hope and face hell forever unless we choose to accept Christ as Savior. Now, folks, I don't know how much simpler I can make it. I've tried to make it as plain and as simple so that the simplest mind here could understand it. I don't want a little 5 or 6 year old boy to leave out here today not hearing and understanding. I don't want a senior saint to leave out of here today without understanding. I've tried to make it so simple so some of the minds that have been twisted by sin and blackened by dope and immorality could still understand their need of Jesus. I've tried to make it plain so there not one of you could say, I didn't understand. You understood. And today you're either saved or you're lost, and you know it. You're saved and you know you're going to heaven, or you're unsaved and you know you're about to face God one day soon. And it's your decision. See, God's already made His decision. He wants to save us. He's already provided the way. He's already provided the plan. He's paid the price. He's given His own Son. He's provided salvation. He sent the Holy Spirit to apply it. He sent preachers to preach about it and teachers to teach about it. Now then, it's up to you what you're going to do with it. Accept it and be saved, or go on like you are, knowing you're going to face God in your sin. What a terrible thing to be so deceived by Satan would turn down the greatest, most valuable gift that's ever been given. The gift of life eternal and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? If you are, praise God. What a wonderful treasure you have. Don't you ever lose sight of the joy of your salvation. Don't you ever lose the glory of it. Don't you ever lose the wonder of being a child of God. Just to be able to say, yes, I'm saved. Chill ought to go up your backbone to know that heaven was moved to give Jesus to die for us so we could be saved. But if you've never accepted Christ, you ought to be trembling right now. Because if this breath was your last breath, the next time you felt anything, you'd be in hell without hope. And without God. God wants you to be saved right now. He wants you to know you're saved. He wants you to walk out of these doors today with peace in your heart and forgiveness in your soul. He wants you to know that you've been born again. But the only people that are born again must make a definite choice to accept Christ. You don't have to make any kind of decision to stay lost. Just stay where you are. You'll walk out on your journey to hell. But God has provided forgiveness of sin through redemption in Christ Jesus and by His shed blood. And it's available to anyone who'll accept it. But you must accept it. Father, that's our message this morning. Lord, we've tried to be plain. We've tried to be simple, so that every person here might understand fully who they are.